verses 21 through 24. Genesis 5, 21 through 24. Let's reread those verses together. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, New Year's Eve worship service and New Year's Day worship service gives us the opportunity to reflect upon time. That's one of the many approaches that you can take when you look for passages dealing with these two worship services. Last night, for example, you take the opportunity to look back on what God has done in the year 2013. Last night at Trinity, for example, we looked at the great white horse of Revelation 6, verse 2. The most significant thing that took place in 2013 was the fact that Jesus Christ rode that white horse of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today is New Year's Day, and therefore what it gives us the opportunity to do, of course, is to look forward, and to do that in the right way. There's always a danger when you look into the future. God warns us against some of those things. But there's a healthy way in which we anticipate the future, and particularly this year, 2014. We do that this morning by taking as our lead the history of Enoch. As we look at 2014, you can ask yourself the question, if someone had the opportunity to simply say one thing about me as it characterizes my life in this year to come, 2014, what would they say? To put it differently, what would you want them to say if at the end of this year somebody could look at your life and simply say one thing that characterized who you are as a man or a woman or a young person or a child? What would you want them to say? Few things are as beautiful or more honorable than what is said concerning the Old Testament saint Enoch. We don't know very many things about Enoch. Scripture is relatively brief when it comes to telling us things about Enoch. We have these couple of verses in Genesis 5, a couple of verses in Hebrews chapter 11, chapter on the heroes of faith, and then a couple of verses in Jude's epistle. We don't know very much about this man, but this we know about him. Enoch was a man that walked with God. And beloved, as we anticipate this year, 2014, let's do so with our heart and soul set on this, that it may be true of us as a congregation and as individuals, that we are a people who in the year to come walk with God. And in walking with God, we have the good hope that our end will be the exact same thing as Enoch's end. We'll go there most likely in a different way if the Lord tarries, but nevertheless, the destination is exactly the same place, and that's heaven itself. In 2014, let's walk with God, and let's do so with that good hope. Let's use as our theme simply this morning, walking with God in 2014. What we have in Genesis 5 concerning Enoch is instructive in and of itself. If we simply looked at Genesis 5, and what Genesis 5 teaches us about Enoch, it would be edifying. Just look at the words that are said concerning him, that he is a man that walked with God. What makes Genesis 5 and the history of Enoch all the more edifying is when you consider it in light of what we have in Genesis chapter 4. There is a certain parallel between Genesis 5 and Genesis chapter 4. We read Genesis 5 this morning. That was the genealogy of Adam through the line of Seth. If you look at Genesis 4, you would see that there's a genealogy there as well. But in Genesis 4, it's the genealogy of Adam through his son Cain. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, was deliberate in setting up this parallel between those two genealogies. We don't know very many things about these men in both of these genealogies. For example, with chapter 5, which we read this morning, really the only person that the Holy Spirit was pleased to elaborate upon was Enoch. And even then, we don't know many things about him. Those names are not all too familiar to us. Methuselah probably is, because that name rings a bell automatically and we think about the fact that he was the oldest man to walk the face of this earth. But we don't know tons of things about these men. But what else is significant about Genesis 5 and the genealogy of Adam through Seth is the numbers. That is to say, where they fall in line in the generations. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. If you did the math, you would see that from Adam he was number seven. In fact, Jude, we'll read the verse later in the sermon, makes a special point of that. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Now turn to Genesis chapter 4, and you see the history of the genealogy of Adam through Cain. And when you turn to Genesis 4, the same thing rings true. You don't know much about these men. But the Holy Spirit was pleased to elaborate upon one man and his family. That man was Lamech. That's verses 19 through 24 of Genesis chapter 4. But what's significant about Lamech is that he too was the seventh from Adam. And so the Spirit sets up this contrast with these two genealogies. Not only generally that you see one is the genealogy of sin and wickedness and the other of righteousness and faith, but specifically with these men. On the one hand, you have Lamech and his wicked family, and on the other hand, you have Enoch, concerning whom it said that he walked with God. And the purpose of this is to highlight all the more the wonder of grace that it was that Enoch walked with God. Because by seeing Lamech as an illustration of the wickedness of the world, the brightness of Enoch in his walking with God is shining against the background of the darkness of sin and the world in which he lived. Enoch lived in evil days, and those evil days highlight his walking with God. Let's talk about those evil days a little bit. Let's read together those verses about Lamech. Verses 19 through 24 of Genesis 4. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Lamech, of course, was a dreadfully wicked man. He was an adulterer, taking unto himself two wives, Ada and Zillah. He was a murderer. He was open about these sins. He bragged in those verses that we just read to his wives the fact that he was a murderer. And he was a father who passed down his sins to his children, Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal Cain, who used the gifts that they had, their abilities, not in the service of God's name, but of course in the service of sin. They made things, and they were industrious, and they were musical, all in the service of sin. We're living, of course, in these exact same days. Peter tells us that the days prior to the flood were simply a picture of the days that we are in right now, prior to the end of the world. The flood being a type of the destruction of this world and the ushering in of the new heaven and new earth. And so when you look at Enoch walking with God in terribly evil days, the parallel is very close for us. We all know that, of course. We look around us and the wickedness is everywhere. There's all sorts of parallels that you could make with respect to what we read about Lamech and his children. I'd like to highlight simply one thing this morning, and that is the unashamed openness of sin. That's one of the things that's highlighted when you read about Lamech. Lamech was a murderer and an adulterer, but in no way did he try to hide those things to himself. He was open about it. He wanted the world to know that this is who I am. And of course, that's the thing that characterizes the world in which we live. As time goes on, sin is becoming more and more open. There are things that people are open about today and make known to the world that 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago would never be heard of in public. And of course, as we anticipate the year and the coming years, the trend is not going to go reverse, but it's going to go even stronger in this direction. We see it everywhere, and it's unashamedly before our faces. I bring that point up in particular because it's in contrast to Enoch, who was unashamed in this respect, that I am a man of God and I am one who walks with God. And so as we see this open wickedness in the world in which we live, let us, as we begin another year, see the wonderful example that Enoch is to us. And by the grace of God, strive to walk in that same way. So what did it mean that Enoch was a man who walked with God? Taking what we know about Enoch from Genesis 5 and from Hebrews 11 and from Jude, we can make the following 5 points concerning what it means for Enoch and therefore us in the year to come, 2014, to walk with God. Number one, that Enoch walked with God meant that he was one with God, that he was reconciled to God. The fact of the matter is that you walk with someone that you are one with. If you are at odds with someone, you're not walking with them. And we get this, for example, from what we read in the prophecy of Amos. Amos 3 verse 3, very short verse, which says this, a rhetorical question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's a rhetorical question, of course. The answer is obvious. No, you can't walk with somebody unless you're agreed with that person. Amos 3 verse 3 has application most directly to our lives with one another, and profound application at that. It has everything to say about who are our spouses and who are our good friends in this world in which we live. It's those with whom we are agreed, those with whom we are one, one with respect to the things that matter, our faith, what we believe, how we live in this life. But that same concept applies to your relationship and my relationship to God. If it's true that in 2014 we are going to walk with God, it's imperative that we are one with Him, that we are agreed with Him. And the only way that that can be said of us, of course, is if God does something for us and in us. Because we know that by nature we are not one with God. We are not those who are agreed with God. By nature our sin puts us at odds with God. We fight against God and the things of God. The only way that it could be said of Enoch that he walked with God, and the only way that we as Christians can walk with God, is due to the work of God to reconcile us to Him, to remove that barrier of sin and depravity that puts us at odds with God. That was true for Enoch in the Old Testament. And we can say that that was true for us in 2013 and will continue to be true for us in 2014. Enoch was a man that went to the altar. He knew his own sin. He knew that by nature he wasn't one with God. He was humbled by that and looked for grace and forgiveness only in this God. We walk with God in 2014, beloved, because of Jesus Christ and because of the cross of Christ, which removes that barrier of sin and makes it possible for us to be one with God, walking with Him. We start there because that's fundamental. And with joy and with thanks, therefore we say in 2014, my walking with God is not due to me. If it was due to me, I would never do this. But it's the work of God for me in Jesus Christ. Number two, that Enoch walked with God meant that he pleased God. We get that, for example, from what we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. That Enoch pleased God meant, therefore, that Enoch in his life here on this earth did the will of God. That's what God is pleased with. He's pleased with that which is according to His will, that which is righteous and holy. Makes you think, for example, of those words that were sounded forth from heaven at Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In the most profound sense possible, God the Father was pleased with Jesus Christ. And this is why Christ came to this earth. And He came to this earth doing perfectly the will of God. Never did He stray from that will. He was altogether righteous, which culminated in His death on the cross. If Enoch pleased God, and he did, it meant, therefore, that he was doing the will of God. If we're going to go forth in 2014 pleasing God, what that means is that we will be spiritually sensitive. We'll be able to recognize the terrible evil days in which we live, with which we let off the sermon. And we'll say with respect to those things, no, I hate it. I'm not going to walk in that way. I know by nature that's where I want to go. But I say no to that and I walk in the ways of righteousness. I want to follow the Word of God in every respect possible in the year to come, 2014. That's what's pleasing to my Lord and to my God. And once again, when we see this point and what it means to walk with God, all of the focus doesn't fall upon ourselves, but it falls upon God. Because Hebrews 11, right after what we just read in verse 5, talks about faith. Without faith, these things are not possible. Without faith, one does not please God in their walk. And faith, we know, of course, is altogether the work of God in us, making it possible for us to discern spiritually this world and to walk in the ways of righteousness. That Enoch walked with God and that we will walk with God in 2014 means that we will be pleasing to God in the way of doing His will. In the third place, that Enoch walked with God meant that he was the friend of God. Now, we don't read that anywhere specifically in Genesis 5 or Jude or Hebrews 11. We read that specifically, for example, in James about Abraham, that he was the friend of God. But nevertheless, that's clearly implied in what we know about Enoch and clearly implied in these words that he walked with God. The fact of the matter is that the one that you walk with is your friend. That's true, of course, in our relationships here on this earth. You go for a walk with somebody. Who is that person? Typically, it's your friend, and oftentimes it's your very close friend. You take a walk with your husband. Or you take a walk with your wife. Walking with someone implies friendship. Enoch was the friend of God. And he did, therefore, that which characterizes friendship. It's interesting. It's walking with God. It's not running. If you run with somebody, it's hard to talk. But when you walk with somebody, you're able to communicate. And that's what's wrapped up in friendship, communication. You walk with somebody. You take a walk with someone. What you're doing is you're talking. You're sharing your life with one another. You're laying out your struggles. You're encouraging. You're comforting one another. That's what friendship is all about. And that was true for Enoch in the midst of those wicked days. He was the friend of God, which meant he communicated with God. He talked to God. He brought his needs before God. And that will be true of us if we are going to walk with him in 2014. We'll talk to him. We'll bring our needs before him in the throne of grace. We'll hear him talk to us every day in the scriptures. The word of our God, who is our friend, coming to us on the Lord's Day. In 2014, hearing Jesus Christ say to us, "My people, this is my word to you in the midst of your life here on this earth." That Enoch walked with God means that he was the friend of God. In the fourth place, that Enoch walked with God means that he was active in his relationship with God. I get this from the figure of walking. Walking is not something passive. Walking is active. You have to take one foot and put it in front of the other, and the other in front of the other, and you move. One of the greatest dangers that can face us in 2014 is being altogether passive in our relationship with God. That's what the devil wants. He wants passive Christians. Christians that simply go through the motions of Christianity, but their heart's not in it. Relationships suffer when there is passiveness on the part of those who are in a relationship. Think about that in marriage. If you're simply going through the motions, simply existing under the same roof, your marriage will suffer. Staying close to one another requires active, conscious, purposeful activities. You say to your husband or to your wife, "What do we need to do in order to remain close as a husband and a wife? What are the steps we need to take so that we don't drift apart from one another, but remain very united. This is what we need to do. We need to communicate every day. We need to have devotions together, and the list goes on and on, but it's purposeful. And the same thing is true in our relationship with God. The beautiful thing about our relationship with God is that if the relationship is there, it can never be severed completely. But in our experience of that relationship, it can suffer at times when we're not actively walking with God. And that's a good thing to take stock of in 2014 as we begin another year. Ask yourself the question, what does God use for us to remain close to Him, for us to experience a close relationship with Him? What are the means God gives us that we actively participate in so that it is true of us that we walk with Him? Daily devotions in 2014. Regular attendance to the divine worship services. Constant communication about the things of God. Purposeful activity that keeps us close to God. So walking with God means that we are one with Him, that we are pleasing to Him, that we are His friend, that we are active in our relationship, and then in the last place, that Enoch walked with God means that he spoke the things of God. That's what we get, for example, from what Jude says about Enoch. Jude verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch was a man that spoke the word of God. If we walk with God and if we are one with God, what will come out of our mouths are the words of God that came out in a specific way for Enoch. The word that he brought was the word to the world around him. It was basically a call to repentance. He saw the wickedness. And he said, Repent, turn, or your end will be utter destruction. But more generally, we can say concerning Enoch is that he spoke the word of God. Not only in his life did he do the will of God, but what came out of his mouth were the words of God. And if it's true of us that in 2014 that we walk with him, what that means is that we will speak the word of God. We will confess our faith in all of our life. And it may be the case that it's the same as Enoch. We may have the opportunity in this year to come to see an acquaintance of ours, for example, walking in these terribly wicked ways. And the same word that Enoch brought may be the word that we have to bring. Repent, turn, or it's utter destruction. Of course, takes boldness, takes faith, strong faith to do that. But the general point simply is this, that walking with God means that we will speak the words of God. Walk with Him in 2014. And do so, beloved, with the absolute hope that in walking with Him there is a great reward of grace. That reward was given to Enoch. Enoch was one of two men in the Old Testament that we know about that was translated. He was taken directly to heaven, both in soul and body. How do you explain that? I don't know. In some way, God took him from this earth to heaven, in some way made his earthly body glorified and fit for life in heaven, so that right now, he is in body and soul with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He brought him to glory. He did so when he was 365 years old. Interesting that at that time, that was middle-aged. They lived much longer at that time. Drives home the point that when it's the Lord's time, he takes us. He was not an old man by the standard of the day, but yet God said, this is the time that I'm going to take you home to heaven. That's something that you can think about with respect to 2014. We don't dwell on that, of course. We live each day at a time, but it may be the case that in 2014, God says to one of us, it's time to come home to glory. God did that for Enoch when he was 365 years old. It may have been the case, too, that he spared Enoch the death at the hands of the enemies. When you read Jude, that becomes very clear. He was a man that was undoubtedly persecuted on account of his boldness of faith. But you have to ask the question when you consider Enoch, why did God translate him? Why did God say concerning Enoch, you're not going to taste death. I'm going to bring you directly to glory. It's a difficult question to answer, but you can say a couple of things about that. There was a reason for Enoch. It was for Enoch the way that God was pleased to bring him to heaven. Most likely persecuted, and God said to Enoch, I'm going to spare you of that, and I'm going to take you to glory. But there was also a reason for those who were still on this earth. And that's what we need to not forget. Enoch was not the only man walking with God. He's pulled out and identified in a special way by the Holy Spirit in Scripture. But certainly there were others around him who were walking with God. He wasn't unique. It has to be true of us that we walk with God. And it may have been the case for the sake of those who were still on the earth that God took Enoch in this way. They must have known about it. And they had to go on in the midst of the wicked world. But yet, seeing Enoch, they must have been incredibly encouraged and comforted. Here we are, still on this earth, in the midst of this wickedness. And God, by translating Enoch, says to his people, do not despair. Continue to go forward. There's hope. One day, you'll be delivered, and I'll bring you home to glory. What an encouragement that must have been for them to see and to know that Enoch was taken to glory. And beloved, let that be our encouragement too. Because here we are in the midst of these wicked days, having to walk with God. And at times it's very, very hard. The battle of faith can be a struggle. And we don't look at 2014 and say, it's going to be easy. No, it's just going to be the exact opposite. It's going to be hard as we fight our besetting sins and as we fight the wickedness of this world. But do it with hope. Put your eyes on Enoch this morning. Really, not that. Put your eyes on the God of Enoch, who is faithful to every one of his children, and who will at one time say, it's time to come home. The reward of grace of heaven is for you at this time. And so with hope, beloved, strong hope in our God and Lord Jesus Christ, go forward in 2014 like Enoch, walking with God. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for this word that we could consider briefly this morning. We pray for thy blessing upon it, and may we be encouraged in our walk here on this earth as we begin another year, 2014. And may we do so with our eyes set on heaven, knowing that thou art a God who is faithful to thy people, and one day will bring us home to glory, as thou didst bring home Enoch in those wicked days. Bless us now in the remainder of this day. For Jesus' sake do we pray. Amen.